Hey, this is Phil Kniezel, lead pastor at Hope City Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. My prayer is that this helps and encourages you, gives you some practical ways to live out your faith, and ultimately fills you with hope. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I'm new to the team. I've only been on the team here at Hope City Church since January, so there's a good chance we haven't met in person yet. And I'm Paul. I'm the campus pastor at our Terwilliger location, and it is such a privilege to lead that campus. It's been great meeting so many quality people in Terwilliger, and there's a lot of excitement at Terwilliger these days around our future permanent home that we're working on. We actually had a demo day and barbecue there a few weeks ago, and it was so great to see life on the property and just give people a chance to tour the building. You know, we have an incredible opportunity in front of us with that property, and I'm just so thrilled to be a part of it. You know, the school has been a huge blessing, but having our own permanent space is just going to be absolutely amazing. Today I get to be here, and I've got to say, this is truly an honor and a privilege to be able to share this morning. You know, people will steal anything. I found an article from CTV News they put out. It was called 14 of the Strangest Things Stolen in Canada in 2019, and four in particular caught my attention. The first one was this: electricity. After being away from home for a while, someone came home to realize they saw an extension cord running from their house to their neighbor's house, and someone had been stealing their electricity while they were away. The second one was this: a dunk tank was stolen from a fundraising event, and they're probably going to be having like the mayor, maybe some local firefighters get in the dunk tank to raise money for charity or something, but the night before the event, it was stolen, and it left organizers asking the question, who would steal a dunk tank? The third one was steaks off a neighbor's barbecue. Okay, so someone literally, while the steaks were cooking, went to their neighbors and took them right off the barbecue. I mean, just imagine that. You've been cooking this fine meat, and then you go inside, grab some seasoning or something, you come back outside, open up your barbecue, and your steaks are gone. What a tragic, sad moment that would be. But the fourth one is really interesting. A $187,000 cheese shipment was stolen, and it was allegedly picked up by a stranger with fake paperwork, which if you have fake paperwork, that's premeditated. They thought this through, and it also gets me to ask the question, how large is a $187,000 shipment of cheese? Anyways, this article confirms the idea that people will steal anything. And after reading this article, two things are true in my life. One, I'm going to keep a closer eye on my barbecue the next time we have steak. And number two, I'm definitely going to be more diligent next time I bring in a large cheese shipment. But there's something inside of us that just loves the idea of getting something for nothing. Have you ever wanted something bad enough that you stole it? And how'd you feel afterwards? Or have you ever had something stolen from you? And how did that make you feel? You know, my kids were younger. We used to have this Power Wheels car, and it was pretty awesome. It was black, had shiny wheels, two seats, speakers in the back. It looked like a Cadillac Escalade, but for kids, man, that thing must have gone at least one, maybe 2 kilometers an hour, but it was incredible. My kids absolutely loved it. And our house where we lived at the time, we backed onto a green space, and so all the houses there just had a chain link fence, and so you could see into our yard. And one day, the car got left in our backyard, and it got stolen. And so the next morning, kids wake up, and they were pretty devastated, as you could imagine. And just like the people who had the dunk tank stolen, my kids were left asking the question, why would someone do that? Well, if you've been with us at all through the summer, you know we're working our way through the Ten Commandments. And I hope you've been enjoying this series as much as I have. If you've missed any of our messages, you can always find them on our website. And I encourage you to check that out if you've missed any. But we've been looking at a different commandment each week. And so some context here. The Israelites had, God had just led the Israelites out of hundreds of years of slavery in Egypt. And then 7 weeks later, he gives them the Ten Commandments. But why? Well, fresh out of slavery, they were about to be entering into this new way of living. And so God provides some guidelines that are going to help them be successful in their relationship with him and in their relationship with each other. The Jewish people actually celebrate an annual holiday called Shavuot to remember when God gave them the Ten Commandments. And my Bible has a little sidebar about this holiday, and it says, it's a celebration of the truth that God doesn't leave us in the dark. He speaks to us. That's pretty cool. And so you may be thinking, why would you want to celebrate getting a bunch of rules? It sounds like God just loves to give a bunch of laws, and he's so restrictive. It's all about do's and don'ts with him. And I do understand how someone could have this perspective, but I prefer to view God's commands as a roadmap to a successful life. Like Pastor Ken mentioned last week, the commandments are like a fence in our backyard. They help keep us safe and enjoy life. You know, one of the things I enjoy doing is reffing soccer. It's a great way to be in the community, get some exercise, all while being yelled at. I mean, who wouldn't love doing that, right? But like any sport, soccer has a lot of rules and guidelines. In fact, my rule book for soccer is over 200 pages long. And the rules of soccer aren't meant to take the fun out of the game. They're in place to keep people safe, ensure people are playing the same game, and provide framework and meaning to the people watching and playing. Without a shared set of rules, the game would be chaos. Likewise, the commandments that God has put in place keep us safe, help keep us on track. And when we make mistakes and sin along the way, they ultimately point to our need for a Savior who can offer forgiveness. So what are the Ten Commandments? Well, you can find them in two different places in the Bible. You can find them in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and in Exodus chapter 20. And as we've been doing every week, we're going to read through all Ten Commandments that God gave the Israelites in Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor, and you shall not covet." So this morning we're going to be looking at commandment number 8, and our text is really quite short this morning. It's only 4 words long, and it can be found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. It says, "You shall not steal." This commandment really is self-explanatory, but the Amplified Translation provides a unique perspective. Now here's a tip. If you're finding that you just read through the Bible so fast, you just burn through that thing, I want to encourage you to read through in the Amplified Translation. It might help slow you down a little bit. But this verse in the Amplified Translation unpacks different types of theft. It says, "You shall not steal secretly, openly, fraudulently, or through carelessness." So secretly, maybe diligently hiding your actions as you acquire something that doesn't belong to you. Openly, just blatantly taking something from others, regardless of who sees it or who it affects. Fraudulently, intentionally maybe leaving something off your taxes or in the accounting for your business. Carelessness, maybe something gets missed in your cart as you go through the checkout, but you don't go back in to pay. See, as we look at this command in this translation, we get a little bit more of a complete description of "you shall not steal." That being said, I really don't think you need to be a Bible scholar to understand the point of this verse. If it isn't yours, don't take it. But why can't we steal? Well, these commandments were given by God to provide framework of what it means to be in relationship with him and with others. And an important part of healthy community is safety. And when you're always worried about someone taking your things, you're not going to feel safe. Each of these commandments, if followed, creates safety and provide opportunity for everyone to thrive. But as these commandments are continually violated in community, and it causes us to question and fear one another rather than assume the best about each other. Rather than be generous with our things, we feel like we have to protect them. And we definitely see this in our culture. A history of property being stolen has conditioned us to protect our things. Imagine if you were at the mall food court and you needed to go to the restroom and you just could leave your wallet, your keys, and your cell phone on the table while you went. Some of you maybe just had a panic attack just thinking about that. Or what about this? Imagine leaving your shed, your garage, your home, or your car just unlocked all the time. It feels like a foreign concept, doesn't it? I've even heard it said that locks are only to keep the honest people out. And what a shame that theft has become such commonplace in our society. But it's not just stealing, though. All of the commandments are continually violated regularly in our culture. And maybe we break the Ten Commandments because 10 of them is just too many to remember. Well, Jesus actually simplifies the entire law in Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 40. This is what he said. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. He summed up all the commandments by making two statements. Love God and love people. And if you keep those two things at the forefront, you'll do well. As we choose to love God and pursue our relationship with him, love for others becomes a natural byproduct of that. See, love for others should be evident by our actions. And taking things from others doesn't really fit in the category of loving one another. And when it comes to stealing, no one wins. One person is left missing something that belonged to them, and the other has obtained it by dishonest means. One person is the victim, and the other is a thief. Now, Jesus actually contrasts himself with a thief in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. See, a thief is selfish. It's all about me. Takes, regardless of the consequences. Causes destruction, ultimately brings death. Jesus, on the other hand, is selfless. He's others-focused. He loves to give, bring restoration, and not just life, but life to the full. See, the enemy even tried to steal Jesus' life, but he couldn't, though. Why? Because Jesus laid down his life. See, you can't steal what's been given. Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. You can find that in John chapter 10 and verse 18. See, God is generous, and his game plan is to give. He's a generous God motivated by love. And this is clear in probably one of the most famous passages in the Bible. It's John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It was because of his great love for us that he gave. See, God is the opposite of a thief. He loves to give good gifts, and the greatest gift being the gift of salvation. See, our sin separated us from God. And the Bible says we actually deserve to die for our sin, but Jesus came, lived a sinless life, and gave up his life for us so that we could have relationship with him. This is the gift of salvation. And we weren't just saved from something, we were also saved for something. A life of purpose, following Jesus and eternity with him in heaven. What a gift. And as we choose to give instead of steal, we have the opportunity to represent the generous nature of God. Now, although we've been looking at these Ten Commandments individually, I think oftentimes they're very connected. And when it comes to stealing, I think we can violate three commandments at the same time. For example, we covet what we don't have, so we steal to get it, and then we lie to cover it up so we don't get caught. But what is it that causes us to steal? I think one of the main reasons is because we lack contentment. We look at what others have, and we compare it to what we have and decide what we have isn't enough. We want more, and we feel like we're entitled to it. We steal because we want things, and maybe we're not willing to do what it takes to get it. We aren't willing to put in the extra work to earn the money to buy it or put in the extra time to save up because we don't have the patience. Or we just take things because we feel like we're entitled to them. But if we aren't careful and this cycle continues, we can find ourselves in this place of never having enough, always looking to the next thing to satisfy that craving. And if that drive becomes too strong, we'll do whatever it takes to get it, even if that means stealing. And in a world full of options and shiny new things, being content can be a struggle. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, wrote in his first letter to Timothy in chapter 6, says, but godliness and contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So we are blessed to live in this nation, and a lot of us have way more than we need. And as Canadians, I think a lot of times we get want and need mistaken. And despite what our kids might say, a PlayStation 5 is not a need. And the key to counteract this contentment is this lack of contentment is to reflect on what we do have and to be grateful for it. See, because gratitude leads to contentment, and then contentment gets our eyes off of me, and which can help us see opportunities to be generous. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever done something you knew you weren't supposed to do? I have. And the thing that always amazes me is how fast my mind can justify those actions, even though I knew it was wrong. But the danger of continually justifying our sin is that it can lead to a life of compromise. Here's an example of how we might justify stealing. Let's say your friend or relative, someone has a Netflix account, and they just tell you, well, I'll just give you my password, and then you can use it. I wonder if we would all see this as a form of stealing. But we can justify this a whole bunch of ways. We can say, well, no one's ever going to know. I can save some cash. And they're a huge company that makes tons of money. So really, what's the big deal? It's not like I'm stealing a car or something, right? And these justification statements help us feel better about our decision to steal. The problem is, as we do that, we get better and better at justifying our sin, which continually opens up the door of compromise in our life. And this can be a slippery slope where we become comfortable stealing in other areas. And this is exactly the tactic of the enemy. And the danger of sin. It always starts with something small. And each compromise gets us more comfortable with the idea of stealing and better at justifying our actions. See, once we've sinned and then we recognize it, we have a choice to make. Do we make it right or do we just justify our actions? See, justification feels easier than reconciliation, so I think we often choose the path of least resistance. But there's a cost to pursue reconciliation that we'd rather not pay. Yet Jesus was willing to pay the ultimate price, his life, for our reconciliation. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive, as the Lord has forgiven you." In other words, if we've accepted the forgiveness that Jesus offers, we have a responsibility to pursue forgiveness with one another. That means seeking forgiveness if we've done the stealing, and forgiving those who have maybe stolen from us. I recognize this is often easier said than done. It's interesting, though, because the justification of our theft often reveals the condition of our heart. For example, let's say you borrowed something from somebody, but then you chose not to give it back. I think we'd all agree that's stealing. And on the surface, looking at that, we would call that theft. But if we look at the justification for the theft, it might reveal more to the story. We find out that I'm not giving it back to them because last time I let them borrow something last month, they brought it back and it was broken. So when we examine the justification, we see the condition of the heart. In this case, the theft really had nothing to do about obtaining the object. It was actually a matter of unforgiveness that was leading to some form of revenge. God is always more concerned about our heart than he is about our actions. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." If we get our heart in the right place, then our actions will follow. See, all these commandments aren't just a list of do's and don'ts. If we let them, they can reveal areas in our heart that maybe aren't fully submitted to God, or heart issues that haven't been addressed. See, what we do is the action. Why we do it is the motivation, and motivation reveals the condition of our heart. So if there are areas in your life where you know you've been stealing, first of all, let's stop that. But secondly, we need to examine your motives and find out what's going on behind the theft and see if there's some unresolved issues that maybe need to be brought to Jesus. There's something unique about an encounter with Jesus that can cause a complete change of heart. There's a great example of this in the New Testament book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 1 to 9. It's the story of Zacchaeus. I want to read that. This is what it says. "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. And he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He's gone to be the guest of a sinner.' But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.'" So as a tax collector, Zacchaeus was a well-known thief. Tax collectors would often overcollect and keep a portion for themselves. And like Zacchaeus, they were often very wealthy but came about their wealth by dishonest means. But something happens in the heart of Zacchaeus. He has an encounter with Jesus that completely changes his life. Jesus invites himself over to Zacchaeus' house. We don't know exactly what is said, but his time with Jesus causes a serious shift. Listen to what it says in verse 8. "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." A well-known rich man who has been stealing from people for years all of a sudden decides to give half his possessions to the poor, and not only pays back the people he stole from, but agrees to pay them back four times the amount. A genuine encounter with Jesus leads to a heart transformation. And that heart transformation changes the way we live, and it becomes less about me and more about others. Zacchaeus suddenly seems content, not only with what he has, but with half of what he has. And he walks away from his life of compromise and justifying his theft. He chooses reconciliation and forgiveness with others as his heart condition is changed in the presence of Jesus. So what does this mean for us if there are things that we've been stealing from others? Well, first of all, we got to recognize the areas that we've been stealing. Secondly, we need to repent for our sin in this way. Stop stealing. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers and invite him to transform your heart. Reconcile. If possible, look for an opportunity to return what doesn't belong to you. And then reflect. Reflect on the motivation and the condition of your heart. And then finally, resolve. Allow God to work on your heart and bring healing where he needs to. Ephesians 4, 28 to 32 says, "If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to the others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you." Let me read that first part of that verse again. It gives us all the steps we need to move forward from a life of stealing. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. So there's power in our generosity. When we give, we take our eyes off ourselves and focus on others. Generosity motivated by love sounds like God. And as we choose generosity, we choose to reflect the nature of God. And when I talk about giving, I don't just mean money. Yeah, we can be generous with our finances, absolutely, but also with our time, our energy, resources, or maybe even our wisdom. For God so loved the world that he gave. Let us go and do likewise. So how will you choose to be generous this week? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for these commandments that you've given us to provide guidelines for our life. And God, we take a moment, we just repent for areas where maybe we've been stealing and either we've forgotten about it or just maybe didn't recognize it until just now that we've been stealing from people. And God, we repent and we ask for your forgiveness. And God, would you help us? Would you work on our heart? Would you reveal areas in our heart that maybe aren't fully submitted to you or that you just need to work on? And God, instead of being a thief, we want to be generous like you are. And even this week, God, would you show us people that we could be generous towards, that we can show your love towards by being generous? God, we're thrilled that we get to reflect your nature to other people. Would you show us how we can do that this week? In Jesus' name, amen.